On today's special episode of Nostalgia Test Now, I sit down with actors Connor Sherry and Mika Abdallah, stars of the brand new comedy coming-of-age movie Snack Shack from Adam Raymeyer.
Welcome to the Nostalgia Test Podcast, the show where two longtime friends put their mainstream pop culture past to the ultimate test, the Nostalgia Test.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Nostalgia Test Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Dissinger in LA, and I'm flying solo on this very special Nostalgia Test Now episode where I sit down with Connor Sherry and Mika Abdallah, stars of the brand new Adam Raymeyer coming-of-age comedy Snack Shack. It's in theaters right now, and I'm suggesting everyone just go out and support this film. It was super fun. It hit all those nostalgic 1990s vibes, and I am giving it definitely the seal of the Nostalgia Test Podcast approval. Go support this film. I had an amazing conversation with Mika and Connor, which you're about to see. And stay tuned after the interview for a few of my personal reflections on the movie and some of the things I learned after watching this. So without further ado, my conversation with stars Connor Sherry and Mika Abdallah of Snack Shack. Hi, everyone. I'm so happy to be joined by two of the stars of the movie Snack Shack, Mika Abdallah and Connor Sherry. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's super exciting. I was watching the movie the other day and I was just having all sorts of emotions. It was so amazingly written and directed, obviously, by Adam Raymeyer. He really caught the essence of the 90s, I felt, and that childhood experience. So I'm so happy to talk to you and ask you a few questions. So, but before we get started, can you just maybe tell the audience a little bit about yourself and then we'll jump in.
Well, okay. We're basically going to say almost the same thing because we both go to UCLA, but yeah, I'm Connor, Connor Sherry. I am an actor. I'm in LA. I'm just about to graduate from UCLA, grew up in Northern California. Now I'm out here and then transplanted to Nebraska City, Nebraska for this movie.
Excellent. Awesome.
I'm Mika Abdallah. I'm from Dallas, but I've lived in LA for like 6-7 years now. I've been acting since I was a little, and I'm really excited for everyone to see this movie.
Yeah. Thank you. Awesome. I mean, I just want to start off with saying this movie is such an amazing comedy coming of age story. I was so drawn in, like I said before, but I wanted to ask, like, what is it about, you feel like, these types of summers, like, that transfer into these like teenage years that make for some great movies? I mean, we've seen them, like Dazed and Confused is one of them. Like, you see that kind of transfer into high school or these teenage, like, coming of age spaces. What is it about them that just connects the audiences, you feel?
Gosh, you know, I think it's, go ahead.
I feel like we're probably gonna say the same thing. I feel like it's just such like a volatile time. Like, so many things are changing. You like still are under the control of your parents, so that plays a part in your daily life, but you also feel like you're becoming an adult and everyone's changing and like turning into the people that they will be, and it just leaves a lot of room for like crazy things to happen. I don't know. I feel like it's like the craziest time of everyone's life when they're like 14, 15 years old.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's kind of like what Mika said. When you're 14 and 15, you're usually kind of like this, and everyone has the same experience where whatever's happening right then and there in your moment is most important. And yeah, you know, I definitely was doing prep and trying to be like, oh, I'm in the 90s, like getting all these 90s things. And when we started rolling, it was felt pretty much the same as when I was growing up in terms of the feeling.
Yeah, I was curious, like, what type of 90s prep did you end up doing? Like, there's music, especially this is 91, so it's like almost like the tail end of the 80s into the 90s. When I was 15, I was 14, 15 years old. It was like 1996, so like we were like right in the middle of the 90s, so it was like really had a hold. But like, what type of 90s prep did you do? Music, movies, or anything?
Yeah, a lot of music. Adam's a really big music guy. And he gave us all sorts of soundtracks and stuff that were kind of like kind of my Bible. While I was shooting, I'd always pop that in and kind of get me grounded. But yeah, it was that the biggest thing really was just turning our phones off and just getting away from our technology. Nebraska City hasn't changed much since 91, so we kind of had it built for us just being in the town. But yeah.
Oh. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of like, you know, like it wasn't like we were doing like a period piece in like the 1800s, you know, there wasn't a lot of like, we didn't really have to change a lot about our like current state to feel like we were living in the world of the movie. I think, yeah, especially because we were shooting in Nebraska City. And, you know, we're wearing the clothes and we're driving cars and everything. And that's kind of where it ended because, you know, the way it's written and just like the vibe on set. Adam still has a very like 1991 vibe, I feel like. and so everyone was just kind of in that headspace. So we never really had to think about it all that much.
Yeah. I mean, even with the idea of like this childhood coming of age story, I was even a movie like Sandlot, which is much more in the past, right? There's still something that connects, whether it's Sandlot or Dazed and Confused, which comes into around the 70s and this in the 90s, like there's something that translates or transfers between these spaces that I felt like that you don't have to do much to change, but like the environment, but the feeling is there, you know?
I think it's just like, is the feeling just puberty? I'm like, is the feeling just like everyone who went through puberty? Like butterflies, it's like, you know, I got those butterflies on Snapchat. So some people get them on the pool.
I was like, something I really loved about like this movie too was like the friendship between Moose and kind of your character
AJ,
like that was so genuine to me. My friend, my co-host Manny that I do this podcast with, was texting me back and forth being like, as soon as you see this, I want you to tell me who you think this is, because we all have had someone in our life that like brings us in a journey or like takes us out of our comfort zone. I was curious, like, do you know, have either you had a friend like Moose or a Moose in your life, or maybe there's a Moose in your life now? I'm just curious, like, is there a connection to that?
Honestly, I feel like in current day, I'm kind of that person to a lot of people in terms of doing stuff. But at the same time, I also have this weird, like, I'm kind of a rule follower, but also not.
We're very much a rule follower.
Please, no.
Literally, what are you talking about?
I'm only a rule follower if we could get caught. But yeah, I think that everyone has that friend that kind of pushes them and to do things.
Yeah, I literally, when I was like 14 years old, I had to go to therapy because I was like, I don't know how to say no to this friend. Like I had a friend that would like make me do the craziest stuff all the time, and I was just like, same. I was way more of a rule follower though back then. And yeah, I think everyone has, like, unless you are the crazy friend, you either are the crazy friend or you have the crazy friend.
Yeah
That or you bounce back and forth.
Yeah, I was like thinking how much I connect to that, and I was like, oh man, my life was so different with that friend. And now I'm kind of like, you know, away from that. So it's like, you see the types of things though, like you take with it something you learn. So in their craziness, there's all these lessons that I feel like were learned, especially in this film.
Who was your guys' real life Moose?
Well, he shall not be named, but he definitely is a character. There was almost like a group that, like, when they're together, kind of like this old cartoon called Voltron, where like all the cats come together to create one robot. So like when it was just one of them, it wasn't going to be as bad. When they came together, the energy was so volatile, you had no idea what was about to happen. And like you would come, it'd be like 3 o'clock in the morning, and be like, why are we here? Like, how did we get here? And thank God we're all alive. And I think that was always the sentiment that, like, we're all alive, we're good to go, tomorrow's another day. But, you know, at a certain point, you got to just let go a little bit. So, like, what do you want the audiences to, I don't know, feel after watching this, or maybe take home with them? Because there was so much that I took with me. I think at certain points, I was get it like very emotional in this film. Mm-hmm. I was very nostalgic, and it also made me feel very grateful for the friendships that I have now, especially my co-host that I do this podcast with, someone I've been friends with for like over 20 years, where I'm just like, man, we've been in such adventures going cross country with each other and stuff like that. But like, what do you want the audiences to take away after watching Snack Shack?
I feel like exactly what we just did, you know, like it just starts the conversation of like, oh, do you remember what it was like to be 15? Oh, who is this person for you? Who's this person for you? Like, that's what I love about the movie, is that it like starts these conversations, like whether just like in your head or with your friends or whoever, like it makes you really reminisce about like your childhood and what summer meant to you when you were a kid and what your friendships meant to you when you were a kid. And yeah, it's very sentimental. You can let it be sad for you. You can let it be like a really fun, like popcorn movie to watch. And like, it can kind of be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's exactly that. I've talked to so many people that have reconnected with friends, my two best friends that a lot of this was related for me through, are actually coming out to see it. They're coming back to our hometown. We're going to see it on Sunday. I haven't seen them in, God, like 8 years. I'm so excited.
Wow.
Yeah. And Adam's still friends with Real Life Moose in Nebraska. We got to see him do a screening. So yeah, I think it's that. And I think Adam does a really good job of letting everyone get caught up in the world of a 15-year-old and commit, and everyone like buys into like this intense world of a 15-year-old. And then, you know, he's able to kind of beautifully zoom that out and also like remind everyone that the world is bigger and like, and things happen and life happens. And I think that message is really cool too, that everyone can learn that, enjoy like everything while you can, kind of thing. Yeah.
You know, whatever, all your experiences now and distance from 14 years old, whatever it is, that thinking about like, what would you tell your 14 or 15 year old self about, you know, getting past that space, right? That real awkward moment, that real awkward space. Like, what would you tell them?
I think I would tell myself kind of like, just to, that it's like okay to be, I don't want to say like an individual, because I don't mean it like that. I just mean like, it's okay to not do what everyone else is doing if you don't feel like doing that thing. Like, it's okay to kind of like separate yourself from your friends if you feel like it. And like, the world's not going to end, and like, everyone's still going to be your friend if you decide not to go do whatever everyone's deciding to do. Or like, you know, it's okay to kind of like have your own preferences. And like, I feel like that's what my character in the movie really has, that was so interesting to me, is like, she is also 16 years old, but she just like has lived so much more life that she like knows what she wants and doesn't want, and she's just like, that's what she's doing. And I feel like very few people are actually like comfortable enough to like stand up for themselves in that way when they're 16. And so yeah, that's what I would do different.
Yeah, I think I would tell 14 or 15 year old me to, I would just say to buckle up, because I'm now fully an adult and I'm still having experiences like a 15 year old. Like my ID is still doesn't work, even though I'm of age to drink it. That causes issues. I would just be like, it's going to last longer than you think. You're not going to grow a beard overnight or over 7 years. So,
yeah. And sometimes you might not be able to do it ever. I mean, it took me years to be able to connect any sort of beard, and I'm like, yeah, it's over. I'm done with it.
I feel so seen. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. I feel feeling better now. Yeah.
Mika, your character was really amazing. And what you were just saying too about, you know, being an individual, like, did you feel like, she had a certain type of wisdom that you might take with you possibly?
Totally. I've been saying that I think that Brooke is just like the coolest version of me. Like, we're really similar in a lot of ways, except she just like is way more traveled and confident and brave. And so, yeah, I wanted to take a lot of that with me. And like, to be fair, we did shoot this movie 2 years ago, and I feel like I have taken some of that kind of like confidence and like trust in like myself and my opinions with me. I don't know if that's necessarily from Brooke or if that's just from like aging and being whatever, but yeah, I uh definitely was inspired by her, like, will.
I was listening to Mika's response. I forgot what the question was. So what was the question?
If I wanted to take a little bit of Brooke with me.
Oh, right. It was about Brooke. Okay, because I was like, I don't think I have anything to say to this question, but that makes sense. I was literally like, am I supposed to say something? Okay.
Actually, it was literally, I feel like, honestly, it was almost more Connor that like taught me that it's okay to just say no to things. Connor's like, you'll call him and be on the phone with him, and all of a sudden he's like, okay, I'm going to go. Bye. Okay, I got to go. Bye. Okay, no, I'm not doing that. Bye.
Well, no, it's usually I will say, no, I can't go out. I can't go to the dinner or something. I don't know. Yeah. I like to be home because when I'm out, I'm extroverted and I have to recharge.
There was something too about the relationship between the parents was so great too, especially with AJ's dad and you and it just hit home. And there's so much of what I am so curious about in terms of like relationships between fathers and sons. Like, do you think there's something there that is even deeper that like you kind of connected with as well?
Yeah. I think 100%. And especially, I think this movie sheds a light so beautifully on like male relationships in terms of like best friends and like father son. And I think for me, like I have a great relationship with my dad now, but growing up, we definitely had, you know, which I think a lot of people can relate to, but we definitely had our situation. So it was really meaningful for me to kind of go on that journey. And I very much so remember towards the end of the film when they kind of come back together, I think that that's very relatable. Whereas, you know, at the end of the day, like it is family. And so usually just no matter what happens, I mean, there's obviously things I'm sure for some people, but it's like, you got to like stick together. It's kind of like what Moose says, you know, even though they're friends, it's like family.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I just have one more question. I mean, if you could bring back anything from the 90s, like during that time, to get less serious, I guess, but like, would you bring anything back trend wise or, you know, even culturally? I guess like, I would say not a lot of things culturally from the 90s I want to bring back after like revisiting a lot of these 90s, like very 90s movies. There's a lot of issues in those, but are there things from the 90s in terms of trends that you would like to bring with you or see again?
I feel like a lot of like the clothes have come back and like the film cameras have come back. I really loved the cars that we got to drive. And granted, a lot of the cars that we drove were like pre-90s. They were like 80s or, you know, like older, like Nick's truck. I have no idea how old that car was, but like everyone was trying to buy it on set literally. And like the guy who was selling it was like, or the guy who had it was like, you may not. Everyone wanted that thing so bad. So that's someone was like, trying to talk Nick into buying the truck and he like seriously considered it.
Yeah. Wow. It was like, I might. And then someone found like a dupe of the similar truck. And yeah, that was a big talking thing.
I briefly thought about buying, cause the Jeep that I drive in the movie, there was also like the exact same Jeep for sale, like in Nebraska City on like some lot somewhere. And I deeply considered buying the Jeep and then driving back to LA.
That baby would not have made the drive.
No, it would not have made that drive.
By the road, overheating.
I'd be calling you from Kansas.
Yeah.
Those Jeeps are amazing. They're so when I saw that, they brought me back. That was like one of those, the bully's car with the T-top. That the T-tops don't exist anymore. And one of my friends, actually, the friend who shall not be named, had a T-top.
Now he knows who he is too.
Had the T-top, and it's such an interesting car to kind of drive in. They don't have T-tops like that anymore. Like that was a
personality car.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah. For me, it's just
go
candy.
Ahead.
It's candy. The candy. And I know it's still around. You can get it, but like, come on, let's hand out some Nutty Bars and Chico Sticks on Halloween. Because candy does not change. It all still tastes good. It's sugar. But yeah.
You know what has been freaking me out too? So I drove from Nebraska to Dallas yesterday, driving all through the Midwest. All of the like fast food, like let's be specific, Taco Bell. All of the Taco Bells are like new and like modern and like these like square, like very fancy looking establishment. And I really miss the, like, I mean, this is like the dumbest thing to say, but I really miss the like tacky, insane 90s looking fast food restaurant. It's getting too fancy. I don't want to see a new McDonald's, a new Taco Bell.
I mean, there's a fancy one on Hollywood Boulevard that's like, you know, certain margaritas and everything. And I just like very confusing for me.
Or like the 3-story McDonald's in the Valley. I'm like, what are we doing, guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the play palace?
The scary looking Grimace. You need all those things in there. And those odd like play palaces that look like prisons. There was one that was like a burger that you climbed up the middle into the thing with bars, and you just sat up there. No other function.
Oh yeah, it's the Hamburglar.
Yeah, no other function, just that. And it was very, very weird.
I love it.
I was a vegetarian growing up, and I was so jealous. I was so jealous of the McDonald's playpen, because we would go to Taco Bell for fast food because it was beans. We could get beans, but I always wanted to go into the play place.
Yeah,
we'd drive by it anyway.
You must know.
One of these
so
days,
germy.
Just do it one day. Just go in there. No one will say anything.
I know.
Yeah, 23-year-old man crawls around.
I just got to put on my costume and, you know, get in character. Wait, that's weird. Never mind. I'm not going to McDonald's play place. Let's just get that clear about here.
Yeah. I think it was you, Mika, that said in an interview, like bringing the Janko jeans or seeing them.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Those jeans were, when I was a kid, they were huge, and they were the weirdest jeans to wear, especially when it rained, and they would just get soaking wet. So they were kind of useless as jeans. Like, it was really uncomfortable.
Yeah, I imagine. No, I found a pair that are not Janko jeans, but they look like Janko jeans, and I bought them, and I've been wearing them. I don't know why I'm not just committing to the real thing. I'm so fake for that.
Jorts, bring back jorts. I'm wearing them right now.
Oh.
I literally bought these
the ends of those.
I back in LA. I landed and I was like, I need jorts, and I thrifted them.
Amazing. I love it. Well, thank you both for coming on and talking and sharing some of this your experiences with the movie Snack Shack. Everyone, please go and support this film. It's an amazing comedy. Even if you didn't grow up in the 90s, it's a coming of age story that we can all connect to. And I think you're right, Connor and Mika. This is everyone has grown up, everyone hits that age, and everyone has those moments. So this is definitely a film for everyone, and I hope everyone supports it. But Connor, Mika, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, that was my conversation with Connor Sherry and Mika Abdallah. Super grateful for them to make time to sit down and talk with me, not just about the movie, but their thoughts on their characters and just this idea of coming of age and how we all connect to this. And I think that's the thing that I really took away from watching Snack Shack, is that Adam Raymeyer really captures this idea of coming of age so well. And I see it in conversation with movies like Dazed and Confused and Sandlot, where you still have, you know, kids growing up, whether it's, you know, going, you know, from getting into like freshman year of high school or even younger, like in The Sandlot. And in this case, going into freshman year of high school. But it's also like a different time period. But there's something about these coming of age stories that traverses those decades. And it brings us all together. Whether you are, you know, coming of age during the 80s or 90s or 70s, there's something happening that we all share. And that's like leaving behind some of the things of our childhood and really starting to step into the fullness of who we will become in our adulthood. That was really something that, especially in Snack Shack, I want everyone to watch this movie. Like, there are moments in that movie that you're just like, that really take you there. Emotional beats that I am so grateful for being there, because it really created such a heart to the film. And, you know, Adam Raymeyer really captures that, and Connor and Mika really do a great job, and their other co-stars as well in the movie. I'm just blown away by the whole thing. It was really great. Also, like, there's something about the summer that is like the second thing that it really looked at, is that the summer is like this moment that, especially during your teenage years, that you learn a lot, not just about, you know, yourself, but about your relationships. Like, you really grow those relationships because there's so much time now, right? I mean, yes, you are with your friends all the time in school. You're, you know, spending, you know, the majority of your day with them, but it's in class. And there are all these like rules that kind of, you know, create separation, or that like you can't really get into deeper enough conversations. But during the summer, you have extended periods of time where you can learn about each other. You make mistakes, you get into trouble, you patch relationships up that have been kind of severed or damaged in ways. And we see this in this movie between, you know, the characters like AJ and Moose, how they are best friends, and then something, you know, happens, because I don't want to spoil anything, and then they aren't, and then they kind of come back together, right? Which is not a spoiler as much as it's like, this is the kind of, you know, cycle of friendships. And we all have had these friendships, right? Like, well, our friendships always go through ups and downs, and it happens, because I mean, that's the nature of relationships, right? The other thing is that I learned is, and we talked about it during conversations, like not being afraid to grow up. I think a lot of the times we look at our childhoods and these nostalgic moments in them, and also the nostalgic parts of our childhood, like our favorite movies or music, and we don't want to give them up. Like, we don't want to let go, but sometimes you have to. There's a lot in this movie, I feel like, that I connected to in terms of the ideas of like what I have to let go of, what I did let go of, and also that. And on the comedy side of it, even like right now, while some of our episodes are gaining a lot of comments, and people are like, well, oh, this movie was great, or like kind of like the Airheads episode right now, where people are seeing that, like, they think that we did, you know, Airheads wrong. But sometimes you just have to tell the truth. Sometimes things aren't good, and sometimes you grow out of them, and it's okay to leave it behind. Some nostalgia does not mean that anything is bad or good. It has a place in our lives, but sometimes you just have to let go of stuff as well. And that's okay. And so there are a lot of big lessons, especially in Snack Shack, where you see that in between the really hilarious comedic beats that I feel were really well done. One of the other things is that, and Mika said it in this conversation about like what you would tell your 15 or 14 year old self. And I remember she said something to the effect of, you don't have to do what everyone else is doing, right? So there's this like idea of authenticity that I feel like during these time periods, in the coming of age moments, that we are trying to figure out what we value, who we are, how will we move forward into ourselves and also into the people we're going to become. I feel like it's a challenge. And this isn't like the stereotypical nostalgia test episode. And I feel like there's not as much to be, you know, laughing out in this, but that's the thing. Like, coming of age really makes you reflect on who you are, how you became who you are. And like we talked about in the conversation, what sort of advice we would leave ourselves. You know, Connor also says something about like telling his 14-year-old self, like, things are going to be bumpy, but like to hold on. And that's right. And if I think about me going back to my 14-year-old self and leaving advice for him, it definitely would be, it's going to be bumpy. But then take it for what Mika said, but hold true to who you are. And I feel like the lessons in Snack Shack are that. Hold true to who you are. It's really what coming of age is all about, is to find that core and to hold on to it. And I think like the last thing that I would just want to say about Snack Shack is this. In a time of reboots, and in a time of huge big budget films that are just flooding you know, the streaming services and everything. An indie film like this with so much heart, we have to support them. So whether it's Snack Shack, which please go and support, or some other film that you feel like is not getting it, you know, the support it deserves, we need to do that. We need to see these films. We need to talk about these films. And especially in the podcasting arena, like sometimes we have to take a step back and be like, you know, do we always have to talk on our podcast about how much a movie isn't good, or, you know, ripping apart a film? Sometimes it's good to talk about a film that's just like really great, especially something new like this. I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, a lot of people hear this, because I want a movie like this to do well so that there are more coming of age stories, and more coming of age stories from more writers and more directors of, you know, across, you know, the identity spectrum of everyone, because these are the stories that kind of focus on our humanity. You know, Connor said something really awesome in the conversation that about this being a story about male to male relationships. And it is like, that's what I also loved about it. You know, you see so many of the friends where it's like either AJ or Moose or AJ and his father, right? There are a ton of, you know, issues in terms of masculinity and identity. And then also like AJ and Shane, it's really an interesting story. And, you know, one of the things about me is that I'm a Kerouac scholar in my, you know, other life as a professor. And I'm just like, wow, so much of this could be connected to On the Road, another coming of age book, right? But it's not in a way cliche, because we do have these experiences. And it's not just you men, you know, male centered coming of age story. Mika's character, Brooke, is also going through a really interesting journey where, like, it'd be great to see more stories like this. You know, her having to move around a lot, being, you know, not being able to put down roots. That was, you know, a really interesting part of this film that I found, you know, heartbreaking. But also really interesting to kind of think like, what would happen in the future? Like, what would happen if we do, like, you know, not a sequel, but to project into the future of this world of Snack Shack and be like, where are these characters now? Right. But yeah, overall, Snack Shack, loved this film. Again, Connor, and Mika, thank you for sitting down and talking with me. Everyone, go and support this. You know, in terms of the Nostalgia Test Now rubric of, you know, in 10 years, where do I see this? I see in 10 years that this film passes the Nostalgia Test. I think Snack Shack would still be good. I think if I really want to put it out there, I think this is a movie that I'm happy that I saw. It's a movie that I'm glad is out there. And it's a movie that makes me feel hopeful for other indie filmmakers, and also just the movies in general, that not everything always has to be some big budget Marvel film, even though those have their places. But a really well done, heartfelt coming of age story. It's just, if it's done right, and just like with Adam Raymeyer and how he paid so close attention to the details of 1991 and the 90s, really made it feel like I could step back into that place, then this is a movie that passes the Nostalgia Test Now test 100%. Well, everyone, please leave your comments below. Tell me like your favorite coming of age movie. I would love to hear about which coming of age film you enjoy. If you saw Snack Shack, please comment below as well. If you love it, please tell me. Go see it. Mika, Connor, thank you so much again. And please follow the Nostalgia Test on Instagram, Threads, TikTok, and YouTube at The Nostalgia Test, on X at Nostalgia Test, and join the newsletter on the website and subscribe to the podcast, please, and spread this episode around, just like spreading the word about Snack Shack. Everyone, thank you so much. See you on the next test.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Please subscribe to The Nostalgia Test podcast to know when new episodes drop. Don't forget to leave us 5 stars and a positive review so more people can find the podcast. Share your thoughts and memories on today's topic on our Twitter, at Nostalgia Test, and on Instagram, at The Nostalgia Test. Tune in next time, because you never know what pop culture will pop up on The Nostalgia Test.